Welcome to the Staying Connected podcast, the preaching ministry of Rosemont Baptist Church in Montrose, Colorado. I am Pastor Roland Kennison, and I want to thank you for listening. Christmas is a special time of year for most people, but it's an especially poignant time for the church. The theme of today's sermon focuses on the first coming of Christ that we celebrate every Christmas. I pray you'll be encouraged by its message. Now, let's begin our time today.
Merry Christmas. Thank you all for being here tonight. I hope this helps you prepare for whatever family celebrations that you're going to be having, and hope that your Christmas is going to be a blessed one. We have our regular Christmas songs that we like to sing. I'm sure you have your favorite. We were talking about that beforehand. What's your favorite Christmas carol, and what favorite song do you like to sing? And we all have our favorites, whether it's You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, right? Or something maybe a little bit more spiritual, like The First Noel. You know, that's another good one. We sing sometimes The First Noel, and we maybe love that song, and the question is, what does Noel mean, right? We sing it, we may not know what Noel means. Well, there are a lot of people have different thoughts about that. Some think it comes from the French word meaning news. Some think it's from an old English word meaning to shout with joy, and many believe it's just from the Latin word meaning birth. But if you place all this together, you get the good news that shouted with joy about a birth, right? That is what Noel is. And I want to talk to you not about the first Noel, but the last Noel. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. We sing about the first Noel. I want to talk about the last Noel in a kind of non-traditional Christmas passage. It's found in Titus. I'm going to read through it. The verses will be up on the screen if you'd like to follow along. But here's what Titus 2, starting in verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Let me pray tonight as we start our time today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gift of Jesus. God, I thank you for this time of year where we have set aside to remember that the eternal Son of God came and wrapped himself in flesh, is how we sing it, and humbly came as a baby so that he could live a perfect life and ultimately die for us on the cross, and then raise again on the third day to assure us of eternal life. God, thank you for this great gift. And as we do celebrations in our homes and with family and friends or wherever we may be, I pray that our thoughts would be focused on you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's what Noel is about. The good news shouted with joy about a birth. That's what we sang. The first Noel, the angels did say to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. The first people, the angels shouted this good news was to shepherds. And they showed up and it scared the shepherds and they shook with fear, it says. They were very afraid. And so that's the first Noel. There was news that was shouted with joy. But there's another Noel that's coming. Some more. There's even better news, is what I'm saying. That is, that there is this one who came, he's coming again. And that is what I'm going to call the last Noel. And so we read this passage in Titus, and he talks about the first Noel in verse 11. He says, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men." The grace of God has appeared. The question might be, what's grace? Some people have used it as an acronym to remember it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Some people say that's what grace is, and it is. It is the very riches of God given to us because Christ died for us. Some just simply say God's unmerited favor. We did not earn it or deserve it, but God has rained down his favor upon us in Jesus Christ. It is God's grace. God's grace appeared, not because we earned it, not because we did enough good deeds to get it, simply because he loved us. See, the story we might be familiar with in the Bible is that Jesus came as a baby. Mary was 9 months pregnant, riding on a donkey. Ladies, how would you like that? Traveling from north in Nazareth down to Bethlehem. She shows up that night, and they are anxious to get in a hotel room so she could have this baby, and there is no room. The whole world has shown up in Bethlehem, and there is no room in the inn, but a kindly innkeeper says, I tell you what, if you can find some space in the barn, you can have it. And Mary's thinking about her birth, saying, the last place I wanted to have my baby is in a barn, but I'll take what I can get. She goes in the barn, and Joseph tries to make her comfortable with some hay. She lays down, and she is in full contractions. And Joseph is a scared first-time dad running around trying to find rags and water, just trying to find something to make his wife comfortable. But it is time to push. He leans down and kneels beside her, grabs her hand, and they both look scared to each other, and he says, Mary, you gotta push. And she starts pushing and screams, cry out through the night like there would be at any birth. And finally, the Savior arrives as a baby covered in the gunk that babies come out in. The glory of God appeared. That is what happened on that beautiful night. God's grace appeared. Joseph begins to wipe him off with the rags. And there's no doubt at what to name this baby. Both parents had an angel visit them and said, you will name this child Jesus. He told Matthew, you're going to name this child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. See, the word Jesus, that name means Yahweh saves, Jehovah saves. The Lord is our Savior. You will name him the Lord saves. Mary was told, you're going to name him Jesus, and the throne of David will be given to him. So there was no doubt, once this baby appears, what this child was going to be called. And they named him Jesus. They wiped him clean and said, hello, little Jesus, right? Like you would to any baby. What a beautiful baby you are. And God's grace appeared. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men because Jesus will save his people from their sins. That is the grace of God. He will save people. We're not saved by his birth, but because this baby was God in the flesh, because he lived a perfect life, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, and he rose on the third day, that is what saves. When we trust in that work instead of the work that we try to do. We say, I'm going to get in good with God by doing good things. I'm going to go to church more or read my Bible more or pray more, or I'm just going to be kind to people, and that will get me in good with God, and it doesn't. But the grace of God has appeared. He has shown us the gift of salvation in the person of Jesus Christ. That salvation that he was born, lived perfectly, crucified, buried, and rose. That is the salvation of God. He tells us about the first Noel. And then Paul writes to Titus telling him how to live in light of that first Noel. What impact should it have on us if Jesus came as a baby, lived, died, and rose again? Look in verse 12, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection saved us from the power of sin, but we don't earn that salvation. The grace of God must change us. It not only we cannot earn it, but we don't do anything to keep our salvation once we have it. It is all the grace of God. But the grace of God must change us. It is not, I've accepted Jesus, I got my ticket to heaven, and now I can live however I want to live. There is a change that must happen with inside of us because of the grace of God. So what impact? How should the grace of God shape us? He tells us first, we should deny ungodliness. That word ungodliness is lack of reverence. It means lack of holiness in thought and speech and action. It means we submit our mind, our tongue, our life. We submit it to the lordship of Jesus. We deny ungodliness. And he says we need to deny worldly desires. That word desires is like craving. Anyone ever have any cravings? I don't know, like cake, right? Anyone ever crave cake? I do. Like ice cream? Anyone? Just me? Okay. We have cravings sometimes. Pasta. I need some spaghetti, you know? I don't know. We have cravings. That's not necessarily because this word here has the idea of coveting and lusting and really longing for something. And then the word worldly in front of it gives it a whole new sense of wrongdoing, evil. It is coveting the things that the world has. It's longing for things that are against God. It is lusting over the things of the world. He says we need to deny that. The grace of God should change us so that we deny that. Because God's grace changes us. We deny ungodliness. We deny worldly desires. But look what he says. He says two things negatively. Then he says things positively. We are to live sensibly. Boy, we need more of that today, don't we? Living sensibly, right? Just simply common sense. That word sensibly means self-control. You know, self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit in our life, we've surrendered to Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit's come into our life. There should be some self-control. And that self-control helps us deny worldly desires, helps us deny ungodliness. He says we need to live sensibly, we need to live righteously. That is, doing things in line with God's created order, God's word. We need to do things according to what he wants. And he says we need to be godly. We need to live like Christ would live. If we are a believer in Christ, we've trusted in him, we are to live sensibly and righteously and godly. The grace of God changes us. It gives us the power to live differently. Maybe today as you've come here, you have said, something's got to change in my life. What's going on isn't working. I've been doing it my way and things are a mess. Something's got to change. I cannot live like this any longer. In that case, you should know that Jesus alone can change you. That the grace of God has appeared as a gift to you, held out to you to grab by faith. And that grace of God can change you from the inside out, and your desires will change, and your actions will change, and your thoughts will change, and your speech will change, not because you're trying to, simply because the Holy Spirit is changing you from the inside out. There is the first Noel, there's living in there, and then he talks about the last Noel. The last good news that's going to come. He says in verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. See, we celebrate the day that Jesus came, but we are looking for another day. Those who have trusted in him, we are longing and looking for another day. The good news that Jesus is coming. We're looking for the last Noel. Jesus came to bring salvation in the first Noel. He's coming again, but this time he's not going to come as a baby. He's not going to be born in a barn. He's not going to be wrapped in rags and laid in a feeding trough. He is going to come this time as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll be ruler over all things. And that is what Paul says, our blessed hope. Hope isn't wishful thinking. Hope is expectant waiting. We know it's going to happen. We're waiting for it to happen, and we can't wait until it happens. That is our hope. He's going to come a second time. The first time he displayed God's grace, the second time he's going to display God's glory. See, Jesus Christ stood in our place and received the wrath of God for our sins. Why did he do that? It says here, who gave himself for us to redeem us. Jesus Christ took the place of every sinner, every person on this planet who has ever lived, who is living, and who will live. He stood in their place and said, I will take their sin. And the wrath of God rained down upon them, it says, to redeem them. That word redeem is a word that had to do with slavery. There was if somebody had been enslaved, a person could go and purchase them and buy them out of slavery. It pictures us as slaves. Satan has captured us, and we are in prison. We are his slaves. Whether you know it or not, whether you believe it or not, that is us in our natural state. We are enslaved by him and enslaved by sin, and there is no way of escape. And the Father has sent his Son to buy us out of slavery. He said, I know the cost to get you out of slavery. I will give them my Son. They'll take him and set you free. That is the deal. The scripture said he made him who knew no sin to become sin in our behalf so that we might receive the righteousness of Christ in him. He set us free through the price of his blood, so that we no longer have to be saved for sin, or no longer have to be slaves to sin. It says he redeemed us. He redeemed us from every lawless deed to purify himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good deeds. When he redeems us and makes us like him and purifies us from our sin, we'll want, just simply want to do good for the Lord. Not to earn his love, not to keep our salvation, simply because we want to. Because it's his heart. We'll just be zealous for it. It says he's coming again, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory. He's coming to bring those who have surrendered to him. He'll bring back everyone who has trusted in the Lord. And so what are we to do with this message? That Jesus Christ was born, fully God, fully man, truly God. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. And then buried and rose again so that he can bring us to the Father. What do we do with this message? He tells us in verse 15. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. We're to tell others. We're to tell others. If you are a believer and you have received this salvation and you have been changed from the inside out, your job is to tell others with all authority, it says. We don't have to meekly go to somebody and say, I want you to know, you can be saved from your sins. We can, with authority, stand up and say, there is another way. There is a better way. There is more to this life than this life. And if we surrender our life to God, he will change us from the inside out. So the Messiah has come, and we are to tell the world. And that's what we're celebrating tonight with our candles. Gary, go ahead and have him shut off the light. See, we live in this dark world. We live in a world without Christ. We live in a world with Christ, but in our natural state, we live in darkness. And the only light that is pushing back this darkness is the light of Christ. We've been lighting these candles that represent hope and peace and love and joy. And it's only found in Jesus Christ. And when we trust in what Christ did to us, we receive Jesus Christ into our life, and we also then are lit up with the light of Christ, and we have eternal life. We can see in the dark. We were blind, and now we can see. And now I can see a little better here because I've got the light of Christ. But I don't keep this to myself. The scripture says you don't take a light and hide it. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, the scripture says. And so we're to tell others. We're to take this light and pass it to someone else, and they'll pass it to somebody. And they'll pass it to someone else. And we're to share this message to the whole world so that they will know who Jesus Christ is. And so as this light is being passed, I pray it helps remember that we are to share this message. I pray that you have received Christ and have him in your heart. And if you do, I pray that you pass it along as easily as you pass on this light to someone else. As we finish tonight, the worship team's going to come and they're going to sing one song. I'm going to have us join together. If you're able to stand, why don't we stand? And we're going to sing Silent Night together. Amen. I pray you are encouraged and built up in your faith in the Lord. And I pray you have a Merry Christmas. If you're a believer, then take the message with you and share it with someone who needs to hear. If you're not, tonight is a great night. Wouldn't it be great if you came to know the Lord and your spiritual birthday would be on the day we celebrate Jesus' birthday? That would be a great thing. If you have questions about that, come and see me. I'd love to talk with you. Let me pray, and then we'll be dismissed for the evening. And I pray that you go in joyous celebration of Jesus' birth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for, once again, the gift of Jesus. I thank you that we could gather. We can sing praises to him. I thank you for the salvation that is purchased for us through his life, death, burial, and resurrection. And God, once again, if there's someone here today who does not know you, God, I pray that they would not leave here without giving their life to you and being changed by you. Thank you for the blessed hope that we have that you are coming again as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to take your people home. And so, God, I pray that as we celebrate your birth tomorrow, we'll remember all these things. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. Have a great night.
Thank you for listening to the Staying Connected podcast, the preaching ministry of Pastor Roland Kennison from Rosemont Baptist Church in Montrose, Colorado. We pray the Lord will use this sermon to help you in your life and ministry. If you found this podcast helpful, would you consider contributing to our ministry? You can give online at www.rosemontbaptist.org/give. If you live in Western Colorado or you're visiting the area, we would love to have you visit us on Sunday morning. Our services start at 10:45 a.m. You can also watch our worship service live through our website at rosemontbaptist.org. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.